Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Tuesday live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, right here on FS1. 1 hour from now, we unveil our Herd hierarchy, the 10 best teams in the NFL. What to do with the Raiders 2-0, what to do with the Panthers 2-0. Does that mean they're top 10 teams? Great to have you in. The funny part about last night is I bet that Green Bay would score first, and they did not.
I thought of you as soon as I saw that touchdown. We were talking about it on the show. I was like, oh, that's a lot.
I mean, the game ended like we all thought it would end.
Right.
But I thought Green Bay would come roaring out of the gates, and Detroit could push back and move the ball. And
listen, Detroit's feisty.
Well, they've got their offense has some really good players. It's just
they play tough.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers got hit a couple times yesterday, so maybe there is something to this
Dan Campbell
knee soup Dan Campbell's got brewing, but they are a tough team. They're going to push you around a little bit.
Well, let's start with that. I didn't learn anything last night. Green Bay wins in the last several years all look the same. Aaron throws for multiple touchdowns. It's pretty. There's three or four big splash plays. Their defense really doesn't make anybody that uncomfortable. And then after the game, Aaron Rodgers plays the victim. They're more boxer than UFC fighter. A boxer, you know, can sort of beat you one way. A UFC fighter can wrestle, kick, gouge, do anything. And they feel more boxer than UFC fighter. You know, it's funny. Every time Baltimore wins, all I hear is, well, they're one-dimensional. They don't play from behind. Baltimore can beat you a lot of different ways. They can get physical. They can run. They can eat the clock. They can get into a shootout. Kansas City, they can play fast. They can play physical. Green Bay, they all look the same to me. It's a good team. They'd be like my fifth favorite restaurant. It's not something I'd wake up in the morning. I couldn't look like, oh my God, I'm going to my favorite restaurant tonight or my second favorite restaurant. It's one of those where my wife goes, they're all booked up. You want to go here? Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. That's good. That's how Green Bay wins feel for me. I didn't learn anything last night, but again, they were slick. A couple of big plays. Their defense kind of finesse. Doesn't make anybody comfortable. Aaron, of course, afterwards plays the victim.
I think we maybe tried to show that we cared a little bit more tonight.
Obviously, you cared last week, but do you feel like it looked like you didn't last week? Is that kind of what you're implying? How do you take that?
I just think people like to say a lot of and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that. I think that there's even more now than when I started playing. There's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out, have a good performance, and get the trolls off our back for at least a week.
There are no trolls. Everybody thought Green Bay would win last night. Everybody thought they'd win big. Everybody, including me, thought they would score first. Nobody really thought Detroit would lead at half. They did. Or Detroit would outgain you. They did. Or Detroit would average more per play. They did. Aaron likes Hollywood. Aaron likes the attention. He does a couple of press conferences. Green Bay is boring. He's got nothing else to do, and he's always good in front of a mic. He likes the attention. But when Aaron says, you know, people say a lot of things. No, you said you were 50-50 on retirement. You stood in front of a microphone for 20 minutes ripping your front office. You lost to the Saints by 30, and you said you guys were flat. We just reacted to your comments. There's no trolls. Nobody last night thought Detroit was going to win. I'm as critical of Aaron Rodgers as any media person in the country. And I ripped the Green Bay management this offseason. I said they should have called him on Jordan Love. I thought they were going to win going away. I thought they'd beat the Saints. Aaron loves the attention, and he loves to play the victim. Aaron Rodgers has one Super Bowl. Brady's got seven. And there's large swaths of media that will tell you Aaron's better than Tom. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, like, to suggest Magic is better than Michael Jordan is a no-no. Magic got to 9 finals, 30% more than Michael. Bill Russell won 11, double Michael. But if I suggested that, I'm crazy town. Brady's got 7, Aaron's got 1, and half the media will tell you Aaron's better than Tom. He's not the victim. I like watching him. I like talking about him when he's interesting. I didn't learn a ton last night. I mean, Detroit and Jameis Winston and Jared Goff move the ball up and down the field on Green Bay. But can we stop with the woe is me, everybody's out to get me, people say crazy things. Crazy things is you saying right before the season, I was 50-50 on quitting. That's crazy. What, are we supposed to not react to it? You were the worst quarterback in the league week 1. What, are we supposed to not react to it? There is a standard for Aaron and the Packers, and Aaron deserves a ton of credit for that. And so we do judge you like Mahomes, like Brady, like Russell Wilson. You know, we don't talk about your wins over Detroit much and give you credit for beating Detroit. You were outgained by Detroit. You're not going to get a lot of credit. Detroit's awful. But, you know, let's just be honest. You like the attention. You love playing the victim. You're not a victim. No great player gets more love and gets argued you're the greatest talent of his generation with fewer championships. If I even suggest Magic's better than Michael, it was to 30 more finals. He won 5. And like, oh, clickbait. Did you watch Magic? He was unbelievable. Aaron's fine. Boy, he loves playing the victim. So you know, let's talk about somebody who doesn't play the victim, Tom Brady. So it's my entire life, let's be honest, soccer's more international, boxing's more international, basketball, these are more international than the NFL. NFL's a domestic league. We play it in America in high school, we play it in college, you go to the NFL. The NFL's never really been what you would call a global sport. Now we've got there's an audience, the NFL wants to make it more popular in Mexico, we have games there, and in Europe, you know, there's a few people in Dusseldorf that like the NFL. But the reality is soccer. When I was a kid growing up, boxing, Ali was the most popular athlete in the world when I was a kid. Muhammad Ali. Michael Jordan was the most popular athlete in the world like 20 years ago. But generally, football players are not global. Peyton Manning and Brett Favre were incredibly popular, especially in the middle of the country. They were doing Oreo commercials and mid-sized car commercials. And I mean, they were just leaning into that middle America, and good for them. Peyton and Brett are about the most popular NFL players in America, even more so than Brady. But Brady now is getting into a weird space, weird being like fascinating, where he's the 9th wonder of the world. And I was thinking about this. There's a stat with Tom Brady that's fascinating. Tom Brady, if you count his regular seasons and his postseason passing touchdowns in his 20s, had 167. He's going to surpass that in his 40s very soon, this year, probably by Thanksgiving. Now, I want you to think about that. That's weird. Between his international wife, his international commercials, his bizarre longevity, LeBron spends millions a year on his body. LeBron is 36, and he's starting to fall apart a little bit. Serena Williams, 39, not the player she was 2 years ago. Same with Federer, 40. Messi is 34 years old, past his peak, past his prime. Still great, past his prime. Ronaldo, 36. He's just cashing checks now. He's basically cashing checks. Tom Brady is 44 in the most violent sport of all these. And his release times are faster. He wins more. He wins easier. If you go look at Brady's last 10 games, because remember, he didn't have a preseason, the pandemic. I don't think it's fair to look at the first half of last year. In his last 10 games, 31 touchdowns, 6 picks, 113 passer rating, 304 yards a game, 10-0. And has beaten Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and Breeze last year in a playoff run. He's becoming the 9th wonder of the world. At 44, I watched him this week. And I watched him in week 1. And my takeaway is he better than he was like 7 years ago? I mean, think about this. His biggest obstacle now isn't his opposition. It's his wife. Whether or not Giselle's going to say, Tommy, pack it in. I've sacrificed a lot for the family. Tommy, pack it in. I mean, that's what we think, right? She's at some point say, we got the money. Let's spend the rest of our lives together. Belichick, to show you how fascinating Brady is, Belichick drafted Tommy's replacement 7 years ago. The number one pick in the draft, Trevor Lawrence, is less than half his age. Like, Tom Brady's doesn't make any sense anymore. None of it makes sense. He's the first NFL guy in my life. And I'm not saying he's as big. You know, Ronaldo's got a zillion Instagram followers, whatever that means. You know, I don't even know if Brad Pitt's on Instagram. But the point is, I'm not trying to make an argument he's the world's biggest superstar in sports. But he's the first NFL guy in my life. Between the international wife, the international commercials, his unfathomable longevity, and his championships, I think he's the first global football player. He's going to throw more touchdowns in his 40s than his 20s. Can you imagine if I said, yeah, Messi, he's way better at 44 than he was at 29. What? I mean, I remember Michael Jordan in his mid-30s. He wasn't the same player. A lot of it was fall away. And that's Michael Jordan. LeBron, 36. He doesn't get tackled. LeBron at 36, starting to get hurt all the time. He's moved into a very, very unique international territory.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Jared Goff, very good first half. He was excellent. 13 to 16, couple of touchdown passes. And then he fell behind, and he had to throw and didn't have the running game, and Green Bay put a little more pressure on him, and he became the turnover machine that he is, pretty physically limited turnover machine, and that got him booted out of Los Angeles. So it's the second week in a row when Jared has to throw trailing, doesn't have the running game, can't rely on it, not playing with a lead, implodes because he was very good in spots. He doesn't have a ton of escapability, and he at times can look very frail under pressure. We talk about this all the time, how coaches undermine quarterbacks. But let's be honest, McVay made him a lot of money. you know, it's very interesting. Think about how smart the LA Rams are. The owner's the richest guy in the NFL, Stan Kroenke. Could buy like 8 different owners. I mean, he's that rich. The general manager, Les Snead, is so smart with a cap, they're still paying Jared Goff 13% of their cap, and they still have 9 stars on their team, 8 stars. They're still paying Todd Gurley. They work their way around the cap. Sean McVay is one of the smartest young coaches last 20 years in the NFL, and they all got fooled with Jared Goff. They paid him $134 million and $110 million guaranteed. They got fooled by Goff. Because it's very difficult when you're playing with a lead, and you're playing with a great run game. Who am I talking about? Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield. This is what Cleveland's worried about. Baker Mayfield now playing with a lead, playing with a great scheming coach. Baker's in the same situation that Jared Goff was. Jared Goff came into the league first year, disaster. Baker came into the league first 2 years, disaster. Both looked overwhelmed. Both a ton of turnovers. Then both get a great scheming offensive head coach. Both their coaches are named Coach of the Year, Stefanski and McVay. Both have excellent O-lines. Both now have strong running games. Both now good receivers. And both always playing with the lead. And it fooled the Rams. This is why I talk about Baker Mayfield. Who gives a rip if he beats the Texans? It's those games against Kansas City. Colin, Baker's way better than Goff. Ah, bruh, which one's been to a Super Bowl? Which one beat Mahomes on Monday Night Football, and I mean in a 45-40 game, outdueled him? Wasn't Baker. Baker didn't get to a Super Bowl. This is why you can get fooled with this stuff. That's why I say Baker, Lamar, like Lamar's win the other night. That win on Sunday night goes a long way to getting him the contract. And I'm not joking. You cannot overplay that. He went right up against Mahomes. It was a track meet. He trails, he leads. He trails, he leads. Lamar got the bag in that game. That's what you worry about. The Rams are one of the smartest organizations in the sport. They got fooled with Goff. And that's why. Because it's a different sport when you play with a lead and you play with protection. How bad was Goff and Baker in the first couple years? They were just turnover machines because they trailed and they didn't have good protection and they didn't have reliable running games. And now that's what Goff has in Detroit, and he implodes weekly. So the key for Baker getting the bag is not going to be beating bad teams. It's going to be three or four or five games this year he trails late, critical situations. Because go ask the Rams. Goff with a lead? Goff trailing with an average O-line? Two different players.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Here's some overreaction. And Boomer Esiason had a great career. He's a terrific broadcaster. One of those pro athletes who's really made a name for himself on radio, TV. He's terrific. I don't know him. I used to live out east. I listen to him all the time. Very smart, very funny, beloved in New York, as he should be. But this is the worst overreaction by any member of the media so far this season. He was on a Boston radio station and was asked, basically, if you had to draft all these young quarterbacks over again, who would be number one?
Well, I think Mac Jones would be. I mean, I think everybody sees that, and he's in the perfect offense. Mac is in the best situation for a young quarterback to be supported by his team, by his coaching staff. And, you know, and Josh McDaniels, the last 2 weeks, if you ask me, dealing with a novice quarterback and the way that Mac has played and completing about 75% of his passes, deserves a lot of credit for getting him to not try to do too much.
Not a single general manager in the league would draft Mac Jones over Trevor Lawrence today. Not one. Mac Jones, through two games, has one touchdown pass and one pass over 30 yards. He is managing a beautiful Mercedes. He's just not running it into a tree. I'll give you an example. Trevor Lawrence is putting out forest fires on every play. He's got an inferior offensive coordinator, a worse offensive line, a coach that's never coached in the league. He has to be in shootouts every game. So he's playing from behind on every play. It's called air yards. When you let go of the ball, how far does the ball travel on average? Mac Jones, 3.1 yards. Second lowest in the league. Trevor Lawrence, 9.9. Over three times. And that's with a worse O-line, a worse coordinator, worse running game, playing from behind. You're talking about the difference between a 6'6 quarterback with a huge arm, wildly mobile, having to carry a franchise that outside a wide receiver doesn't have a single unit that isn't in total rebuild. I mean, Mac Jones, they ran a trick play. He's checking down on everything. They ran a trick play, the Patriots did this weekend. He checked down on the trick play. It's a trick play. You do trick plays for the big home run. He checked down on that. Okay? His air yards are 3.1 per throw. Basically a screen. It's like a bubble screen. They're asking him to do nothing. And I think Mac Jones is better than I thought. But there's a big difference being Trevor Lawrence and you're throwing on third and 11 and Mac Jones throwing on second and 4. No, and I this is not a shot. These are two totally different talents. By the way, Mac Jones in the next couple of weeks has to face the Saints run defense, excellent, and Tampa Bay's run defense, excellent. You can't run on Tampa. So Mac Jones is going to have to throw the ball down the field. He's not done that in two games. He didn't do it this week, and he didn't do it last week. So come on now. One guy is a game manager, and there's nothing wrong with that because everybody manages the game. Once you have a good team, you're all kind of – but Brady at some point's managing Tampa a little. But come on, GM's two games in? We already got Mac better than Trevor?
He is in the best situation to be supported.
Oh, that Boomer's totally right.
That part is 100% true.
What everybody has a right to say and should say, he has the best fit.
Yes.
Oh, his fit is great because He's not somebody that can overcome a lack of talent. He's somebody at Alabama and New England, gets you into the right play, accurate, doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Best fit? Absolutely. Boomer's right. But redrafting? What? Come on now. Put Trevor in New England this morning. And how would we view the Patriots? As a real Super Bowl threat.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like. Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
Despite their loss, Seattle has the highest passer rating in the league from their quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. Shane Waldron's the new coordinator, and it is a better offense. It's more progressive. They're throwing on earlier downs, and the Seahawks' offense is averaging the most yards per play in the NFL this year at 7.4. So the loss was disappointing. But what we always ask about Seattle is, could they open up the offense a little? And they have a new coordinator from the Rams, Shane Waldron, and it looks different. So they still have an elite Hall of Fame level quarterback, an elite coach, Seahawks 10.
Number 9.
Bills. Don't overreact to the Steelers' loss. They totally outplayed them. Time of possession, yards. They were in the red zone four times. They had a punt blocked. They have the number 2 scoring defense, and that is something because they've been working for the last 2 years to generate a pass rush. They've attacked it in the draft, and if you watch the Miami game, they finally have it. They also have the best point differential through 2 weeks in the NFL. I still think this team gets to the AFC Championship. Hey, Belichick's had bad losses in September. Don't take too much from the Steelers' loss. Bills at 9.
Number 8.
Now, this is where Colin gets into overreaction territory. I like the Broncos, and I liked them last week. They've outgained their opponents by more yards than anybody in the NFL except a singular team. Now, last year, they had 32 giveaways. But with Bridgewater, they don't give the ball away. So we said this all offseason. This is a playoff roster. This is an excellent roster. Perimeter speed, they block, they got a pass rush, one of the best defensive coaches, and now Teddy B doesn't turn the ball over. So to me, I don't think I'm overreacting. I picked them to be, 8-9 because we just didn't know. The schedule was tough. The division's tough. But this, to me, is a team that is close. I'm not sure if they're there yet to getting into a Super Bowl bubble, what I've seen so far.
Number 7.
Cleveland would be in my Super Bowl bubble, barely. They do. Baker leads the NFL in completion percentage because this team has a formula. The only question with this team, why I can't make them top 5, is can they play outside the formula? The formula is they play with a lead, they control and manage Baker, they have 7 rushing touchdowns that leads the NFL, but can they win big games when they trail? The great teams in this league can win a multitude of ways. The score is less relevant. So they have a formula. The formula's working. I think they're very good. They would be on the fringe of my Super Bowl bubble, but they do have the best offensive line in the league and arguably the best running game. And that you go look at when Dak Prescott had that 5 years ago, they went 13-3. That's hard to beat.
Number 6.
But Arizona is so explosive. Offensively, I put them one spot ahead. Kyler Murray's remarkable. And the other thing they have two things here that are very valuable, and they go great together. They're dynamic offensively. They score points. So they're going to lead a lot of games. And what do they have? A great pass rush between Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt. That's the old Bill Polian thing when he drafted Peyton Manning. We knew we'd lead, so we had to draft pass rushers. So Arizona's got two things, and not a lot of teams have it. A crazy productive quarterback and a fantastic pass rush. Only question for them is their division, which is brutal.
Number 5.
Niners by an inch. They're not as dynamic. They're not as fun. But they may have the second or third best offensive line in the NFL. They've only allowed one sack this year, and that's with Jimmy G. They've had major running back issues like Baltimore. So we don't quite know what they are. I thought winning last week was really impressive. They're running out of running backs. Garoppolo played poorly in the first half, and they beat what appears to be a very competent Philadelphia team. So Jimmy did not throw the ball down the field last week. He only averaged 3.8 yards per air attempt. So it was a very, let's get to Philadelphia, let's get a lead, let's get out of town. They're kind of limping right now, so I may have them a tad high, but I would have the Niners at 5.
Number 4.
Kansas City. Listen, they trailed Cleveland badly in the first half and lost to Baltimore. I got no questions about the offense, but I've watched two teams run the ball right down their throat. Now, it may be because Cleveland and Baltimore are the two best rushing teams in the league, and it may improve dramatically. But right now, and we all know Kansas City is going to be around at the end, but I've seen you lose, and I've seen you trail, and both teams ran the ball kind of when they wanted to, so I got you at four.
Number three.
Ravens by an inch. Number one rushing team in the league. We now know they can play from behind. I'm not going to take too much out of the Oakland or the Vegas loss because they lost three running backs the week before. It was a little bit of chaos. It was the opening game in Vegas. Derek Carr's really good. They got into a shootout, and they could have won that game very easily. So when I look at this team, I look at a team that does something so well. They're literally averaging 220 yards rushing. The next closest in the league is 160. They are so great at running the football and controlling the clock. That is a great thing to have against great teams. Why? Because you can make Aaron Rodgers a spectator and Brady a spectator and Mahomes a spectator and Josh Allen a spectator. Never, ever, I know it's a passing league, a dominating, clock-eating running game is the great equalizer.
Number two.
The Rams. Here's why I have them too. I didn't think they played well. And they beat a desperate Colts team on the road. And I think the Colts are pretty good. They had a terrible special teams gaffe. Stafford was hit and miss. I did not think they played well. But the fact is, Sean McVay's always been a great September coach. Fourth straight year, they're 2-0. Stafford looks comfortable. They've had, between Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, that may be the most underrated tandem in the league because neither one's an over-the-top guy. But Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, they're kind of duplicates of each other. Catch the ball, great after the catch, can be spectacular, faster than you think. I have the Rams at two.
Number one.
Tampa Bay, although I do have concerns, their defense doesn't have the juice it did last year. You pay everybody on one side of the ball, everybody falls in love with themselves, and it's not Todd Bowles because we know he can coach. Not that. And we know it's not talent, so why isn't their defense playing as well? Is the offense ahead of the defense? I don't know. I will say this. Brady looks so ridiculously comfortable. The thing that's underrated about this team is their offensive line. The thing that's overrated is their running back play. It's very hit and miss with Rojo and Leonard Fournette. But right now, you'd be nitpicking not to have them as the number one or two teams in the league.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Be careful what you wish for, Zach Wilson of the Jets. These young quarterbacks can be unveiled here very quickly. Matt Nagy and the media in Chicago. The media wants Justin Fields to play. Matt Nagy wants Andy Dalton to play, so this is the confrontation. Nagy's a very nice guy, smile on his face, but it's getting a little surly around the quarterback position with the Bears.
If Andy's healthy, is he your starter?
If Andy is healthy, is he your starter? That's something that I'm not going to get into with scheme.
That's not scheme.
Of course it is. That's 100% scheme, Brad. That's 100% scheme.
Whether it's scheme or not, Chicago's got a bigger issue, Bears fans. It's your front office. Think about this. You're always up against the cap, and yet you're the only NFL team that's always up against the cap, and you don't pay your quarterback anything. The Rams are so well run in terms of the cap. They pay their quarterback a fortune, the highest paid corner, the highest paid defensive line, highly paid wide receivers, and Jared Goff on another team is still 13% of their cap. And they can still afford a quarterback, a defensive lineman, a great corner. You guys had to get rid of your best corner, and you don't pay your quarterback anything. One's a rookie and one's Andy Dalton on the cheap. I mean, tell me a unit for the Bears outside a linebacker that's great. No, I have one. I mean, offensive line's a mess. Secondary now in a rebuild. Linebacker's great. You got Roquan Smith, Quinn, you know, you got linebacker. It's eating all your money up. I mean, we have teams in this league, Kansas City, Tampa, Seattle, Cleveland, Rams. They have multiple stars in multiple units. I mean, in Tampa and Kansas City and the Rams and a lot, it's 49ers, you're paying your quarterback a lot of money and you have highly compensated offensive lines in San Francisco. Highly compensated defensive lines in San Francisco. Chicago's out of money, and they pay the quarterback nothing because they pay their linebackers too much. Not exactly the most important position on a field, obviously, or you'd win more. So the bigger issue here is what I have a problem with. You've been trying to rebuild that offensive line for 3 years, and it still stinks. It still stinks.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Now we can bring in Mark Sanchez. It's not my ridiculous, clunky segue. How do you view that? So how old are you right now?
I'll be 35 in November.
35. So when you were playing, I mean, you're an athlete, you're disciplined, but like, would you have a glass of wine during the season?
Occasional, yeah.
Not much, though?
No, not a ton. I was a little more disciplined, but I mean, once you're bouncing around and you're not the starter anymore,
flows.
Sneak a little cheeseburger and here for a good time, not a long time, you know, that kind of thing.
That's my kind of living right there. So you did the Bengals Bears. So let's get right to this. Bengals Bears. So before, you know, you broadcast, you sit down with Matt Nagy.
Oh, yeah.
That's what everybody does. You sit down with the coaches. So what was Matt Nagy trying to sell you on the Andy Dalton Fields thing?
And listen, I agree with him. I want to preface this with, I agree with what he's talking about 100%. He said, listen, Andy Dalton is Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes. Andy Dalton is Alex Smith for, you know, Justin Fields. He's going to help him. Justin Fields is going to learn from him. He's going to glean a lot of personality traits and quarterback traits that you want him to have moving forward because he's this explosive, amazing athlete, but we just got to put it in the right pieces. You know when to use which club out of your golf bag, right? Like know when to hit a trick shot and know when to just keep it easy. So while I agree with him that that's a great idea, might be best for Andy, might be best for Justin, might be best for the Bears, probably is, it's a different market and a different time. I mean, Patrick Mahomes wasn't quite this draft pick that Justin Fields was.
Well,
Justin Fields ran like a 4.4. Like,
and we didn't watch Patrick Mahomes
he wasn't
in college.
This national presence showing up in the building in Chicago. I mean, the Chicago-Kansas City issue in itself, just the media market, Chicago might be bigger than New York because they have two teams. So sometimes you get overlapped or overshadowed, rather, by the Giants or Jets, whatever,
right,
because there's other stuff going on, unless they both suck. Well, then you're both getting it from all angles.
Right.
But Chicago's a massive market.
And 8 million people in one NFL team.
Just dying to see this kid play. So while I agree with him, and in a vacuum, and maybe in Kansas City, it works, Chicago is so hard to do that. And, I mean, you could see it. As soon as he took the field, Andy had just hurt his leg, and as soon as he takes the field, the place just erupts. I mean, I could barely hear Kevin Kugler. I could barely hear the producer in my ear. This place went nuts, and I was looking around like, oh, my God, what happened?
Now, his argument would be Justin Fields isn't ready. In the limited
Correct.
Time, what did you see?
I think that's a fair assessment. I think Justin has shown flashes, and he's really close. It's coming down the pipe, like – could be tomorrow, could be in 3 weeks. But what I really saw was their plan this week was first down. We're going hard sell play action. First down, first and 10 and P and 10. So possession and 10. As soon as you get the ball, the first start of a drive, P and 10. We're going hardcore play action, low pad level up front, sell the run. You know, backs are going to be in the flat or whatever. But we're taking shots. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get behind the Bengals defense and test Jesse Bates in this secondary. That's what we're doing. And Andy, to his credit, about 3, 4, 5 drives in a row, boom, does his big fake, back to the defense, head down, selling, looks up, defense is deep, linebackers expand, boom, back. Montgomery, Damian Williams, And they're getting 5 to 9 to 12 yards a clip, bam, bam, bam. They're going right down the field. They get a couple cheap penalties, bam, they're in the red zone, touchdown. So Andy's playing it the way you want to play it. Justin goes in. Same game plan.
Hard sell.
Back to the defense. Boom. Pops up. Oh, this doesn't look like it did in practice because I guarantee they gave him reps in practice and he launched bombs. You know, he was throwing 60-yard bombs. Well, it didn't work. And Justin, boom, immediately, boom, takes off and runs, which is fine. He's going to get yards. He's fast enough to do it. But if you're just training a quarterback to immediately assess the defense, just get it to your playmakers, right? Sometimes you can distribute without having to put your body on the line. Now, listen, fourth quarter, there's a breakdown in the interior of your line and you got to get out of there. Well, he's your guy to do it. And that's great. And he'll know when, right? It's the discernment of when to take off and run, when to slide, when to dive for the first down. He's learning all those things. And so, you know, the more time he has to learn it, the better off he'll be. It's just that hourglass is just getting lower and lower and lower. And the fan base, I mean, as soon as Nagy says that, there's 65,100 people in that, or 61,005, whatever it is, at the Bears Stadium at Soldier Field, that disagree. Just, no, Andy, no. We want Justin.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just how fans are.
And the Chicago media is highly compensated more than Kansas City. They're more aggressive. Nagy doesn't have a Super Bowl ring, so they're more aggressive toward Nagy than you would be in Kansas City toward Andy Reid. So it's a different dynamic.
It's a fair argument. It's hard to pull it off in that market.
Hard to sell in that market. This is a topic that you know very well because you faced Belichick and had success, actually, which few young quarterbacks do. But Zach Wilson, my concern with Zach out of college was good arm can move. Sometimes, like Manziel, he's showing off a little bit.
A little much.
And that was my knock on him. And a lot of times in this league, boring Dak against the Chargers. Just, I'm going to take what they give me. It's not going to be Herbert can have all the splash plays. I'm going to be boring. So take me to what Zach Wilson saw that you've seen from Belichick.
Oh, my God.
I've seen Darnold now. Yeah. Zach Wilson, just come unravel. What did he see?
Listen, it's every death, taxes, and a Belichick defense versus a rookie quarterback. Bet the farm on it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. And, you know, he has you second-guessing everything. You know, your protections up front. You're second-guessing everything. The year we won, I didn't realize how big of an accomplishment that was in my rookie year because I was in such a bubble and we're trying to like keep every, you know, don't tell Sanchez everything. He doesn't need to know everything.
Right.
But we went into that game with one of the most basic game plans of all time. And we ran those plays like 30 times during the week, just over and over and over. So I had answers versus everything, right? That was the idea. Plus we had Brad Smith. Plus, I forgot to motion a guy and threw a touchdown to Dustin Keller, so it gave them the weirdest look they've ever seen. And Dustin Keller was so open because I forgot to motion Jericho Cotchery, and I got to the sidelines and everybody's high-fiving, and Shotty's like, yo, you missed the zip motion. What were you doing? And I was like, oh, I knew it looked different in practice. So, I mean, that kind of threw him off. So sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes, you know, you have a great game plan. But we went up there in October. It was right around Halloween to play him the second time. And now everybody's talking like, oh, you guys got him the first time. And I'm like, hey, man, we're going to be just fine. What? I threw four picks and put Lee Bodden in the Pro Bowl. I gave him two or three of them. I mean, it just
pre-snap,
a totally different
it changes.
Game plan. No, it was like the false game plan for the first two drives. It was like, oh, we're getting the same thing as last time? Sweet. Let's go get him. Third drive? Whoa. A couple boomerang balls going the wrong way. Oh, my God. That's just the way he is. And it makes it so tough on your team. That's who they are.
Mark Sanchez, 10 NFL seasons now, a Fox Sports analyst, has the Seahawks and the Vikings. By the way, I'm not sure how much tape you've jumped into yet, but Shane Waldron, who was a passing game coordinator for the Rams, has moved up to Seattle, and the Seahawks are averaging the most yards per play. Now, they lost this weekend, but when you look over the tape, the knock has been, with Seattle, it's run on first down, and you know Pete.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be interesting when you break down the tape because I watched this weekend and they're throwing it. They're a little more unpredictable.
A little more unpredictable. They love their play action shots like McVay, using a little bit of fly sweep stuff. Did a little, what'd they do? They did the fake fly sweep, fake toss, turns into a naked, which was awesome, like the Bengals did week one. And, you know, those kind of creative plays to get Russ on the move, that's huge for him because he just processes so well as the play gets longer and he's moving.
So he's the rare quarterback who moves and never gets hit. Carson Wentz is the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
And I was saying there's only two things I don't know if I can coach out of a player. Indifference, Ben Simmons. I like the game. I don't know. Like Kobe, live for the game.
Oh, yeah.
Michael, live for the game. Certain players are like, yeah, I like the game. And I can't coach you out of that. The second thing is reckless. Some guys, you probably had teammates at USC or in the they would take an ATV over a cliff. They'd bungee jump. It's their DNA. Like, they're rough. They're fun. Oh, yeah. They love the action. And I watch Carson Wentz, Mark, and I'm like, he knows he can't get hurt. He knows the offensive line for the Colts is struggling. He knows Aaron Donald's 4 feet from him. And he's just, can you coach it out of him?
It's like playing like you're invincible, right? And it's, you're right. It's difficult to get rid of that. That's who he is. He's a big, strong guy. So was Carson Palmer. I mean, Carson Palmer used to just level defenders in high school and college. And then he learned when he hurt his shoulder, like, whoa, you can't do that anymore. And usually it takes once, right? You burn your hand on the stove and it's like, whoa, I don't really want to do that anymore.
Right.
And unfortunately for Carson, it's like, okay, when is it going to be enough? Like, when is it going to either hurt enough or have something taken away from you to realize, hey, man, I can't do that anymore. And, you know, all quarterbacks go through a little bit of that when you're uber talented. I think, you know, holding the ball with one hand, I mean, I got caught doing that all the time. And it was something that you almost like rebel against because the coaches are like, dude, can you just please put two hands on the ball? And you're like, yeah, but it's okay. Like, he got lucky that time.
But you got away with it in high school and
college. You get away with it. You get away with it. It's like making the fadeaway three-pointer, right? And your coach is like, great. Like, please don't shoot it. Okay, good shot. But that's not the technique. That's not the coaching we're giving you. And when it works, it's hard to tell you no. And on his year that he was going to be MVP, right, before he got hurt and Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl, that's the way he was playing. And he got away with a lot of that stuff. So when you do, it's hard to go back. And it's hard to pull the reins back a little bit. And it's almost like almost the way the Patriots are coaching Mac Jones. Now, he doesn't have that much talent, but they're not giving him that much to do. Like, let's just hit all the layups. Let's just check the boxes. Let's keep it simple. And then we'll build you up. Same thing they did with Brady. His first Super Bowl drive to win, he threw one ball over 10 yards. He hit his running backs and his checkdowns over and over and over. Then he hit one great ball to either Deion Branch or somebody on a deep crosser off a play action with two backs and a tight end in the backfield. Okay, so this wasn't some five-wide explosive offense. But he just did it in increments and chunks. Eating an elephant, just one bite at a time. Yeah. And it's easy to say from this chair.
Right. So of all the rookie quarterbacks, you know, I feel bad because Trevor Lawrence is being asked to carry a bad roster. Mac is being told to park the Mercedes. Just don't hit a tree.
Exactly.
It is a different experience. When you came into the league, you had a very good defense, mm-hmm. and you had a running game. Mm-hmm. So it was an experience in which you inherited probably the last great Jets roster or really good roster. I would say
not probably 100%.
It was like a good roster.
Not even close. The best roster they've had since 2010.
So tell me what Mac Jones is going through. When you would get plays where you're thinking to yourself, oh, can we loosen it up a little?
I mean, it was 3rd and 6 and we're running power. Okay. We're pulling a guard with two backs in the backfield and everybody in the stadium knows where we're going. And we'd still get first downs because of Thomas Jones, Tony Richardson, Brandon Moore, Nick Mangold. I mean, Alan Faneca, our two badass tackles in Brick and Damian Woody. Like, that's what we had 5 blocks of granite up front. We had solid wideouts. And, hey, Sanchez, don't screw this up. And even when I did, we were in games. I threw 5 picks against the Bills, and we almost won. The game went to overtime, okay? 5 picks, and we rushed for like 250.
But is it hard because Mac Jones has been a big play guy, and you were a big play guy in college. You're rolling out.
With Sark, same thing.
But was there moments you're like, let me cut it loose a little? Do you fight that in your head? Is
100%.
Mac Jones fighting that?
He probably is. I think they're just doing a great job of reminding him what's at stake. And the most important thing is, like, you're learning what wins games. And obviously scoring points, field position, taking care of the football. But most importantly, what's going to lose? What loses the game? And when you do that, and the coaches do a great job of explaining, this, there's no place for this. Inexcusable. You cannot do this. One hand on the football. You know, when you hold that football, you know, they would tell us, you hold the hopes, dreams, and aspirations of the entire organization. Every time you're holding that Wilson football.
That's a lot of pressure,
yeah, right? The guy in the concession stands who's, you know, excited for this game and wants your team to win, you have his hopes, dreams, and aspirations in your hands, in your possession, and you're going to touch it every play, quarterback and center, running back sometimes you, receiver sometimes you, lineman, if you get a chance, you better cover that thing up. Like, that's how they coach him there. That's how they teach him the importance of protecting the football. So because of that, just like you protect your newborn, well, you're not going to go throw your newborn in the ocean, right? And see if it works. Like, oh, hopefully he can swim. You don't do that because you want to take care of it. So they're just giving him little bits, little bites, little nibbles. And then when it's time to go win the game, hey, go be you. Go have fun. Cut it loose.
So how old were you when you left the NFL?
Oh, man, 32?
Had you been starting, had the support, How was your body at 32? Because Brady's 44 and almost looks better. How was your body at 32?
It was good. I could still do it. What really threw things off, and this is the issue. Like for Carson, like his back was one of the first things.
Carson Wentz or yeah. Carson Palmer?
Wentz, sorry.
Okay.
His back was one of the first things, and that like affects everything, right? If you get lower extremity stuff, then it just starts going up the chain. If it's your ankles, boom, your knee's going to be a little funky. Your hip's going to be a little funky. Your hamstring, all this stuff. Things start to tweak because you overcompensate right. for other
the
injuries.
Classic groin injury, you injure yes. the other groin
and
every
then
time.
Boom, now, man, you got tight IT band on the outside of your leg, and boom, your kneecap pops out. It's like, whoa, what the heck? Now my ankle's sore and my calf is weak. And
so Brady hasn't had that.
Well, he had the knee thing, he had a shoulder thing, but he's rehabbed him in a way, or whatever he's done, drinking some elixir. Like, how do you do that? The fact that, and I guarantee his warm-up is longer than his workout right now. Just to get ready to go, it would take longer than lifting the actual weights. And before, it was the other way around. You just walk out there, touch your toes, move your arm around, and go ball. But you can't do that anymore. And so he's taken it to this next level of longevity and preservation and rehab. And his whole thing is, as soon as it's done, who can recover the fastest? Who can get there fastest?
Like, what do you think Brady does? Game's over. He's driving home with a fam, gets home. What does he do?
I bet before he even leaves that place, or he goes to a place where it's stretching, ice bath, contrast, hot, cold. I guarantee he's, massage. It's all that before he even, he does his whole routine before he does any of that. Or he sees everybody real quickly and then, hey, I'll see you in about 3 hours.
Former Trojan Sam Darnold has support 2-0. It's amazing when you can play with a lead and a running game. What do you make of the Panthers? They play Thursday against the I will say this, if you haven't watched Carolina, I know McCaffrey's the story, but good God, their defensive front is relentless. They've got a lot of first-rounders up front. Their pass rush is maybe not the Steelers, but it is unbelievable. What do you make of Sam, though?
Well, it's such a benefit and such a luxury as a quarterback to have a defense and a running game. I mean, when did he have that? When has he had that?
Well, you're never in a shootout.
Right, and he's just playing it the way you're supposed to, the way Joe Brady's designing and intending for him to play, meaning go do your job. Don't worry about all the other stuff. And the noise level in Carolina, I mean, it's almost mute, right? Like in New York, it's as loud as it comes, right? Somebody in your ear every day with a bullhorn, oh, you're terrible, you suck, your team sucks, this, that, and the other. Oh, you're a bust, this, that, and the other. Well, there, it's pretty minor.
It's almost a college town.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You have a supportive media.
And Sam, Sam, he's so SoCal. I'm SoCal, but he's real SoCal.
Yeah.
He's relaxed, he's cool, he's easygoing. But he's got something to him. He's got that juice to him, and he couldn't really like express it. He couldn't really get it out. And now he's got a chance with players he's worked with before, with a stud running back. I mean, knowing you're going to be in second and medium, that just opens up your whole playbook. That just gives you so much confidence knowing, hey, man, we got a shot here, not, oh, man, I hope we can stop somebody
also,
today.
When you have a great defense, which you had with the Jets, you often start the drives at the 35.
Yeah. I mean, a 40-yard drive is a lot different than an 80-yard drive.
The playbook closes if you start at the 17.
Absolutely. And these guys are the receivers he has now, Robbie McCaffrey.
DJ Moore.
These guys, they're not only going to catch the ball, but he's going to put them in a position to throw the ball accurately and give them a chance to just get a couple yards after. Those yak yards, the way they knife, the way they're taught to get upfield and get vertical immediately, especially when all these defenses are just playing this like stagnant, a stingy red zone defense where they just kind of stand in their positions and you're not going to throw it over their head into the actual end zone. You got to throw it underneath and knife in. That's so hard to do. You need veteran teams and veteran players to do that. He never had that chance in New York. Never.
McCaffrey is the rare athlete. Edger and James could have done this. McCaffrey could be a starting receiver in the NFL.
Oh, he's
He
sick.
Runs routes.
He's silly.
Not like just casual routes. He would be one of the best
legit.
Route runners in the league as a receiver.
100%.
I watched him last week. He makes clever safeties
and
crosses them up.
And the best part is he gives you indicators with his feet, his hips, his shoulders, his eyes, his head movement, boom. And Sam knows exactly when to get the ball out. Those guys are so easy to throw to.